sad but true. In our enlightened culture, we no longer repent of our sins. Instead, we've learned to manage them. We're so deceived, we think we're okay, as long as we keep our sins in balance like a circus juggler. We do this knowing full well that God is not fooled. Yet, we do it anyway. Today, the bitter fruits of self-deception. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series explains why good people do bad things. And today, Dr. Lutzer tells us why we're deceived and loving it, justifying gross sins by inventing rationalizations to explain them.
A man said to me, struggling with pornography, he said, you know, he said, it's not sin. He said, God created the human body. He created it beautiful. It's artistic. It has symmetry. And we honor God by admiring his creation. Well, how are you going to answer that argument? That's a pretty good argument, I'd say. That's exactly what Eve's argument is. It's good for food. It's pleasant to the eyes. We honor God by admiring and accepting and eating his creation. Except for one thing. God built into these things hidden consequences indiscernible by the human eye. We can't see it, but these consequences, these dominoes are set up, and when we disobey, God has said one thing, we tell ourselves another, and we are in trouble, both in this life and in the life to come. Let me throw this in at no extra cost today, too. You're getting some extras. No decision in this life is good if in eternity it turns out to be a bad decision. So if you're ever deciding, is this a good thing or a bad thing, ask yourself 100 years from now, which decision will I wish I had made? So Eve gave priority to her perceptions. She gave priority to the serpent. She gave priority to the immediate moment. And what is God's answer to the fact that we are desire-driven? First of all, God gives us a new heart. He gives us new desires. The more I studied this, the more material I had until I realized I have to boil it down somehow. All that you need to do is to take your concordance and look up the word desire, or look up the word heart, which is often a synonym for desire. And you discover very interesting things, that God says, oh, that they might have a heart that fears me. What God is saying is, I want these people to have a desire to fear who I am. Where do those holy desires come from but from God? And that's what the new birth is all about. God told Israel, he says, I will create a new heart within you. I'll take out the heart of stone, that heart of rationalization, that heart with all of its defense mechanisms. I will take out that heart and I'll give you a heart that loves me. And that's what the new birth is all about. I met a woman this week who said to me, you know, my daughter is a born-again Christian, but I'm not. And then she began to criticize some of the beliefs of her daughter. And some of the beliefs that her daughter had were ones with which I disagree. I do have to indicate that. But that's why you can't get to heaven without having a new heart. God declares us righteous, but he changes us. It is Jonathan Edwards wrote his book on religious affections to talk about the internal changes of the heart that conversion brings about, to try to help us distinguish between false conversion and genuine conversion. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation, with a new desire for God's word, with a new desire for God. So God gives us a new heart. Secondly, and here's where the rub comes, because I'm preaching largely to Christians today, though I do hope that others, many others, are listening. The rub comes this way. Okay, I'm a Christian, but I still have unholy desires too. I'm a mixed bag. I've got desires that are holy and I've got unholy desires. And it has to do with new ownership. Paul says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires, there's the word, the desires of the flesh. Paul even indicated in Romans 7 that he himself struggled. He says, I war with these desires within me. I want to do one thing, I end up doing another. And we know what that battle is all about. You read that text and it looks as if it's written about us. But walk in the Spirit. In faith we are cleansed. In faith we walk by the Spirit. And then the Spirit begins to take control. And the holy desires begin to take over. You know, there's that old legend that said that someone once asked an Indian, or the Indian rather said, I have two dogs within me. I have an evil dog and I have a good dog, and they fight it out within me. We can identify with that. And someone said, which one wins? And he says, the one that I feed. So what you do is you feed through the Word and through the fellowship of God's people and through prayer. You feed those holy desires and they become stronger and stronger. A new heart and a new ownership. Listen to verses like this. You read them in new light after this message. It says in 37th Psalm, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, how can God give us the desires of our hearts when our desires are evil? Well, of course, he can't. He's talking about the new desires. And even in the Old Testament, before the ministry of the Spirit was quite as expansive as it is in the new, people were converted. They had a new heart with new desires. It says in the Psalms that God is speaking, I will fulfill the desires of those who fear me. Psalm 73, Asaph said, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none that I desire upon the earth except thee. It's the transformation of desires. There's a love of God. A new heart, new desires, new ownership, and a whole new love. A whole new love. Do you know how difficult it is to battle these desires? In the New Testament, there are just two instances where it says that if you're victorious, you'll receive the crown of life. One is in the book of Revelation, where it says, those who are willing to die for their faith, be faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. The only other place is in James 1, where it says that those who overcome temptation, those who are not dragged away by these desires, will receive the crown of life. Could it be that martyrdom is really not a whole lot worse than subduing the desires of the flesh, giving them to God, and saying, Lord, my passion for you is greater than my passion to sin? There was a man in a church, claims to be a Christian, we won't judge him, we'll take him at his word, who heard a message on restitution and was so angry with the speaker that he really would not talk to the speaker who was preaching about restitution. And later on, the speaker, sat with this man and said, you've got to tell me, cough it up, what's going on in your life? And he said, well, I'll tell you. He said, I'm receiving workman's compensation for the rest of my life because of an injury that I sustained. But he said, it was not an injury that I sustained at work. It was an injury that I sustained while on a vacation. So I lied, I filled out all the forms, and I'm getting paid for the rest of my life. And he said, if you are right by what you're saying, that God demands restitution and that we should be fully right with God and man, he said, if I went back to the compensation board, I would be thrown into jail. And this pastor said to him, you know that that's really a small price to pay to be fully right with God. You know, that is a small price to pay to be fully right with God. But the man wouldn't buy it. No, I'm going to live a lie until the day I die. That even rhymes. I didn't realize that. I'm going to live a lie until the day I die. Bottom line, is his passion for God greater than his passion to hide his sin and get by with deceit and dishonor God through dishonesty? That's always the $64 question. There is no way we can overcome these passions, because it's not a matter of facts. It's not a matter of information. You can argue until you're blue in the face and the whole issue is clear, and somebody says, I see your argument, I have no answer for them, but I'm going to do what I'm going to do, because we are desire-driven. Except for one fact. And that is the grief of God. The grief of God. And if we love him more than anything else, we will say no to the natural tendency to hide and justify our sin and say, whatever the cost, I want to please Almighty God. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Let's pray. Our Father, we are such deceitful creatures, so filled with ourselves, so unwilling to face up to what you reveal to us. Would you grant in the life of all of us a willingness to submit, a willingness to say, Lord, whatever the cost, whomever I have to go to, whatever I need to make right, whether it is going to prison or not, I love you so much, I will say no to the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and I will pursue a holy passion. Help us to do that, O Father, we ask, because we stand in great need of your liberating grace and power. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 that Jesus Christ loved righteousness and hated iniquity. This is Pastor Lutzer. A question I've often asked myself is this: where do these loves and hates come from? You and I cannot tell ourselves to love righteousness and then we will love righteousness. To love righteousness has to be something that God births within us. And as I mentioned in the message that you have just heard, it is so important for us to submit our desires to God and to tell God that in and of ourselves, we will not love him more than we love our sins. He must do the work within us, and we must ask him to do it. Will you join me today in asking God to change us and to change us forever?
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, concluding Deceived and Loving It, another message in a series on Why Good People Do Bad Things. Tomorrow, join us for The Curse and Cure of Shame. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. You're hearing Why Good People Do Bad Things. This series is now a book, which we'd like to send as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.